Greetings to everybody from the headquarters office of the Church of God and Worldwide Association here in nice, warm, hot North Texas. I get to do these in accords probably a couple of times a year, and when I sit down to prepare them, I'm always thinking to myself, there's not that much news. And when I begin to assemble everything that's going on here, I realize there is a whole lot of news. So I'm going to try to cover most of what's going on in this week's In Accord. We begin with Mr. Franks. There's a big empty corner office there right now. You've received his letter dated August 7th. I won't editorialize very much other than to say that we're all looking forward to the time when Mr. Franks will be back in the office, hopefully prior to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's looking that way. He's recovering well, and I know he does appreciate the prayers. I walk past the receptionist desk every now and then, and I see a little stack of cards for Mr. Franks. So those cards are appreciated, and the prayers are appreciated, and we look forward to the time when he will be back in the office. I'll go back till last month. We had two continuing education seminars in July, one beginning July 14th and one beginning on July 21st. And they were really quite successful. We had actually a record number this time, 32 in the first session and 38 in the second session, a total of about 70 learners, students, participants, mostly a little bit beyond the age of our regular FI program. I would mention this, that we were able to accommodate almost everyone. And I'm sorry that we couldn't get, there was about a very small number of people, maybe three or four, whom we could not include because we're up at the maximum number for those two continuing education programs. Once we get into the new building, which will happen at some point, we should be able to accommodate everybody because we're going to have a much bigger classroom. But I have a hunch that's a couple of years out. We asked the participants in these education programs how they would feel about being in a nine-month program. And most of them kind of went like this. Like, we don't know whether we could take it because it's a very intense 1 week. But we did mention to many of them that our nine-month program has a different pace and a different rhythm to it. It's a little bit less intense because we, with a one-week-long program, it's essentially lecture. But for the nine-month-long program, there is seminar-style work. We put the students in groups, roundtable work. So it's a little bit different. It's not as intense. We don't want it to be that intense. We try to make sure that there are moments which are not quite so concentrated in our nine-month-long program. That said, our one-week-long continuing education classes have been very popular, and it's great to have groups of adult learners come in. It's sort of like a midsummer Feast of Tabernacles for them, and not exactly the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't worry, we're not going to move the date of the Feast of Tabernacles. However, it's a little bit like the Feast of Tabernacles because there's lots of Bible, lots of occasion for fellowship, occasion to enjoy some good food together. And for many of those who come in, this may be the very first time that they've actually seen this office. So the response to the two continuing education classes was very enthusiastic. Coming soon to a neighborhood near you, we will be in Louisville, Kentucky in late December. We haven't yet discussed exactly what we will do, but as you probably know, every year we've had a continuing education program at the Winter Family Weekend in Louisville, Kentucky. We don't sit down to discuss the details until following the Feast of Tabernacles, but we hope to see many of you there in Louisville, and we hope some of you will have time to come and take classes with Mr. Johnson and me and some of the other members of the administration here in the office. Now, the question that we often get asked is how many students are coming in this month for our full nine-month program? And the answer is we've got 14 coming in this year. And it's a demographic of this class is a little bit unusual. Usually we have more women than men coming in. This year it's 10 men and 4 women. That includes one married couple. 10 men and 4 women, which is kind of unusual. That's good. In a sense, we have one gentleman who is 86 years of age. I had the chance to interview him over the phone. He's a retired school teacher, mid-80s. And he's also bilingual in English and Spanish. He was born in Puerto Rico and is coming here from the state of Florida. I would comment on something here, that for our Foundation Institute program, we do not have a maximum age. And I think that's been a good policy for us to adopt. The older students, we usually get a few of them every year, two, three maybe, and I believe they bring a unique contribution to our program because many of them have been in the church for decades, two, three, four, even five decades perhaps. And having been faithful to God and to his church for such a long time, they bring a wonderful example of dedication and commitment. And I think that example is something that teaches a lesson for all of us, including some of the younger ones who come in to study with us for 9 months. As you may know, most of the students are staying in apartments, but we've had a change with the apartments over the last couple of years. We used to use apartments down in Allen, which is very close to where I live, but now most of the students are staying in an apartment complex. It's Magnolia Ranch Apartments, very, very close. It's within walking distance. And it makes it very easy and very simple and very convenient. And nice apartments as well, by the way. There's no need to get the car out unless it's North Texas weather. When it's very, very hot, they might want to get the car out, or very, very cold in the winter. But it's easily walkable, so that's a very nice part of the arrangement that we have for Foundation Institute and for the residences where they're living. Now, on to one more news item, and that is the summer camps, which are presently winding down. The last preteen camp of the summer concluded last week on August 6th, Camp Arrowhead up in Ohio. According to our Salesforce statistics, they had 74 campers and 67 staff. How's that for individualized attention? The last teen camp of the summer has just begun. I'm recording this on Monday, August 11th. It began yesterday, Sunday, August 10th, with 40 campers registered and 28 staff. This last camp is in Pennsylvania, Camp Heritage. I imagine many of you are familiar with this. The young people have been there. It's been 30 years of having a teen camp at Heritage Reservation in Pennsylvania. This is our last year. Next year, 2026, we'll be moving to a new location. So that's the item about summer camps. Now, another item that you may be aware of concerns the church in Latin America. Later this month, dates August 21st to 26th, we will have a PDP. I know we use a lot of initials. That's the Pastoral Development Program, a Spanish language pastoral development program here in this office. All of our Latin American pastors and their wives will be coming in from various parts of the Spanish-speaking world, Latin America. And it's a great menu of classes. I didn't bring with me the list, but there's an emphasis on preaching, emphasis on other ministerial skills, emphasis on the work of the church, the history of the church. Classes are to be taught by Mr. Franks. I think he's teaching a couple of classes by connection from his home. Mr. Leon Walker, Mr. Horchak, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Myers, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Phil Sandilands, Mr. Meeker, and I have one class as well. Again, it's going to be 5 days of ministerial education, fellowship, and food, lots of food, dates August 21st to 26th. So a lot going on that week. We would appreciate your prayers for the success of the Spanish language PDP. Most of the classes are going to be presented in English with interpreters. I'll be doing some of the interpreting, and I'll be teaching one class in Spanish with interpretation in the other direction. Mr. Dimakis will be interpreting my class from Spanish into English for the members of the administration, some of whom don't speak Spanish. Anyway, we're looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be a wonderful step forward for the church in Latin America. One other item that some of you will be aware of, we've talked about this, it's become affectionately known as the YALU, Y-A-L-W, the YALU, the Young Adults Leadership Weekend, get the term right, Young Adults Leadership Weekend, taking place here in North Texas over the Labor Day weekend, August 29th through September 1st. The theme this year is Plunge, Live Life, and Dig Deep. How's that for an inspiring title? It will take place at Camp Copas, which is not far from here. It takes actually about an hour to drive from this area, McKinney and Allen, to Denton, Lake Louisville, Camp Copas. It's a nice location, about 40 miles north of Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. I went over there last year on the Saturday night. I wanted just to visit some people. Of course, I know many of the young people and have had the privilege of teaching many of them here at Foundation Institute. And I was sitting and just enjoying saying hello, hello, and enjoying the guacamole when my good friend, Mr. Myers, there was a question that came in, an Old Testament question, and my good friend, Mr. Myers, said, "Oh, we've got an Old Testament expert here." So I'm looking around saying, "Who is this?" And they called me up on stage to answer a question. Anyway, it was a wonderful event, and I think very helpful, edifying, and a great chance for the young adults in the church to build friendships and build connections in the church. The numbers, last year, the numbers were between 130 and 140, somewhere there. This year, it's going to be bigger. As of last week, 154 had registered. Now, early registration has closed, but it's still possible to register this week up till August 17th at midnight. The cost for registration is $225 for one individual and $350 for a couple. Now, if there's anybody out there who's sitting there thinking, you know, I'd really like to go, but I can't afford it, airfare, registration, and so on, there is some financial help available. Church members have been generous in donating some scholarship money. So if you're in that category, please don't hesitate. Sometimes we're a little bit shy about saying, you know, I'd really like to do this, but I can't afford it. I know that those who are organizing this event are very happy to extend a little bit of financial help to bring in a few more of our young adults. So I'd encourage, if there's anyone out there thinking in that vein, to go ahead and apply. Finally, some personal plans of mine. As you may know, I have the privilege of going out to a beautiful Caribbean island to serve as, I term myself, the long-distance pastor for the brethren in the Dominican Republic. And I will be going there for my third visit this year, September 19th to 24th, for the Feast of Trumpets. We have two very small groups in the Dominican Republic. When we put the two groups together, people ask me how many brethren there. About 15, including the young people, the children, about 15 on a good Sabbath. One small group in the capital, Santo Domingo, which is on the southern coast of the island, and another little group in a place called Las Terrenas, which is way up in the northeastern corner of the island. It's beautiful, by the way. I've mentioned this before. Anyway, so I'll be going out there for the Feast of Trumpets and then hurrying back here to continue with my classes. Also, I'm going to have a chance to see the brethren from the Dominican Republic, most of them at the Feast of Tabernacles in El Salvador, because my plans this year are to be in El Salvador for the first half and Colombia for the second half of the Feast of Tabernacles. Something to look forward to. Now, Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm going to get onto one of my hobby horses. I think I mention this pretty well every year in my preaching prior to the Feast of Tabernacles. I know there's several weeks yet to go, but I don't think I'll have a chance to give another in accord prior to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we look forward to the feast. The feast is a wonderful time. We look forward to the preaching. We look forward to the fellowship. We look forward to being in a nice place and enjoying maybe in a nice hotel room and the accommodations and all the rest of it. But I think one of the things that we really all ought to keep in mind at the Feast of Tabernacles is to stop for a moment. We are all so busy. I include myself. I imagine most of you, including our young people, the ones who are in high school and so on, the adults. We're very, very busy. And sometimes we don't take sufficient time to stop and think deeply about what God is doing. Meditate. So I want to encourage all of us, and I'm preaching to myself here as well, all of us to meditate on what these beautiful fall holy days mean. The Feast of Trumpets, the return of Jesus Christ, and the enormous impact that this is going to have on the entirety of humanity. Followed by, well, maybe it's not our favorite day, because it's the fast day, the Day of Atonement, but the day that points forward to the time when the root of all of the troubles and the sins will be removed. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then, of course, the glorious Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles points forward to a time that's going to be so different in human history, it's different, difficult to take in. Let us meditate. Let us think about our own personal journey from the time that we were called and then baptized and then onward to God's kingdom. Think about it. I think it would be good for all of us to take a little quiet time during the Feast of Tabernacles, maybe go for a walk, walk down the beach, and meditate about what God has done in our lives individually and in the lives of the body of Christ as a whole. I finish with a couple of verses. In Psalm 143, Psalm 143, verses 5 and 6. Meditation. Let's not push it aside. I remember the days of old. Do you? Do I? I meditate on all your works. Meditate on God's works and the things represented in these beautiful fall holy days. I muse on the work of your hands. And then a little reminder as well. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. Let's spread out our hands. Let's pray to God. Let's thank him for what he's going to do shortly as he moves forward to bring the glorious kingdom of God to this earth. We look forward to that. A little time, a little quiet time for meditation. And that's my brief spiritual message for today. Next week, you won't want to miss In Accord next week. Mr. Britton Taylor, our treasurer, will talk to you about his recent trip to Europe. I believe it was a very successful trip, and give a financial update. So you won't want to miss that. Wish everybody a very good Sabbath and a very good week.